Hey everyone, welcome to Nikki Bostwick Unfiltered. Today's guest is Jessica Reed Krause, who is the founder of House and Habit. And I'm so excited to have Jessica on because I met her by chance last year and I just instantly fell in love with her and everything she's about. And I'm so grateful that you're here with us today.
Oh, thank you. I felt the same way when I met you.
So Jessica, if you don't follow Jessica, she's, I mean, I don't know anyone that doesn't, but she's an independent journalist and a mother of four, and she has built quite the following. I'm so excited to just kind of like dive into your story, because when we met, I just knew you as a pop culture writer, and I didn't really like follow along all the stuff. I would hear it from my friends, and you know me, I'm like, I don't know who anyone is.
Oh my gosh, how funny. Yes, I do know.
So I'm like, okay, so I only know Johnny Depp. That's great. I mean, and I want to hear the full story, because then we went to the Roots event and you were sharing about how, you know, you were just a stay-at-home mom and that was like your main focus. And like, you're just as happy now as you were then when you had like no money and you were just at home raising your kids. And now you have so much going on. You're on the campaign trail. But before that, you were a writer about just like your life, right?
Right. Yeah. Just lifestyle.
So stuff. How did that all start?
I think it was like the beginning of blogging when I got into it. Like, I signed on to Instagram really early, as soon as the app was, out. So I was on there early and I was writing a blog like that was popular in 2011. Everybody was, you know, had lifestyle blogs and motherhood blogs. And at the time I was a stay-at-home mom with, you know, I had three boys when I started and they were all close in age. And it was a way for me to still keep my writing, you know, still like have an outlet to write, because I was planning to go to the teaching. I was going to get my teaching credential and become an English teacher.
Okay.
So I think it was just a fun outlet to kind of share like about what was going on in my life at the time. Like back then it's all about like storytelling, right? Like, so then the story was being a stay-at-home mom to these three and then four wild boys. So I would just tell, and I had so much fun with it. I got a nice camera and I would update. I loved updating the blog. It was like very wholesome. There was no money in it yet. Like, we didn't know we could make money on the internet yet. So it was like very pure. And it was also a way to connect with other mothers around the world. Like, suddenly we can see in the houses and the lives of, you know, people across the world.
So it was called House and Habit when you launched it?
Yeah, because that made sense back then. It was House and Habit, it was House of Habit. And I had to switch it to House and Habit because somebody else came up and bought that name or something. But back then it made sense because we were, you know, it was a house with Inhabit certain habits.
With certain habits.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's funny how it
and
works
then
now.
Mike was the one working.
Yeah, so when I got pregnant with Arlo, we weren't married and we hadn't really discussed what we were gonna do. You know, we weren't really planning on starting a family yet. It was kind of a surprise. So I told him I didn't want to work with a baby. And of course it was stressful because he's like, what? You don't?
Were you working before?
I was. Yeah. I was doing like notary work. I was waitressing. And then I was planning to be a teacher. So we had this sort of like mapped out.
Yeah.
And then when I got pregnant, I was just like, we're going to have to figure it out because I don't want to go to work. And it was like something we had dated for a long time, but I guess that just wasn't something we discussed.
Yeah.
So, and I always, you know, I've always had the mind frame that like money will work itself out. And so, yeah, I quit my job, had Arlo, and then I just started
making babies
and renovating houses.
Okay. So yeah, that's Mike, part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mike was working a lot. He was working at the time, like sometimes two or three jobs.
And did you have any help?
No. I mean, we did have our family. Our family lived close. So yeah.
Because you were not, you know, south yet.
Yes. We were in Corona and both of our parents lived there. So it was nice. I mean, we lived in a cute little cul-de-sac and kind of, you know, the suburban chapter of our lives.
So you would renovate that house and post about it?
Yes, I think house, that's kind of where it started, is showing people like cheap and easy ways to change your house.
And Mike would help you, obviously.
Well, Mike's always done even now, he won't hire anyone. So it's always been him.
Yeah.
And I think it was, you know, I think it was fun to watch a young family just be, you know, renovating. We went camping. Yeah. We did really just, and then we sort of connected with like the other young families on Instagram. And so we were always together. It was a fun period.
And way to meet people.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you had Arlo, and then you had who else?
Arlo, then Leon, and Rex.
And then Rex. Okay, so yeah. Leon's older than Rex.
Yes.
And then Hayes, obviously. But did you always want a big family?
I did, yeah. I come from four. I think we agreed on three kids, and then Hayes was a beautiful surprise.
Yeah. Okay, so you were talking about how you were poor, like in the panel that I was watching you on, and everyone was talking about what motivates them, and it went to you, and you were saying how you're just as happy and fulfilled now as you were back then, and now you're able to travel with your family and do what you just not, you know, obviously just money is not really on your mind all the time, but you're just more comfortable now. But it's not your main focus with what you do. And I think that's so beautiful, because I think a lot of people, especially now that you're on the campaign trail, people are like, she's getting paid by them. She's getting paid by both sides, which already is happening across the board with all media and all businesses do that. You're choosing not to do that, and you're getting paid by the people, and you always have. So how did it go from writing about the innovation, like home stuff, to pop culture, to then politics? And do you miss the other stuff, or are you going to go back to the other stuff?
No, I don't really miss it, because I feel like, you know, there's different phases of life.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was, like I said, I always feel like you tell the stories that you know. So at the time, that was my life, a stay-at-home mom, and it was fun and it was funny. And I was always excited to share those, you know, sort of personal tells. But really, I always loved talking about other people and writing about other people. You know, I was always into pop culture. I was obsessed as a kid. And I think I was just always into, you know, documenting other people. So it was sort of a gradual evolution.
And I think that's what's so cool about your coverage, because you have that experience of storytelling and showing someone in their best light, and then moving that to campaign coverage. It's so different than what anyone is used to.
I mean, it's really sad, because all I'm doing is like, it's sad that it is, that it stands out that way, because it's really just like kind of falling in love with the people you meet along the way. And I feel like it's really like I have a tendency to see the good in people.
Yeah.
And I really am attracted to sort of like layered angles about someone, like someone, you know, like Kennedy or Trump, like there's tragedy and scandal and all these things involved in their stories, or like Ghislaine Maxwell. I love to like dive into that and kind of dissect it all, but I feel like I usually come away with the angles that people don't really hone in on. And that is because media really just goes for negative. Like everything, if you start to pay attention, everything they cover is negative.
And that's why a lot of people are just either so sucked in, because they're sucked into the negativity, or they're just like, I don't watch the news. I don't keep it up.
Yeah, it does not make you feel good.
Yeah.
And you do not connect. It's like, it's designed to divide us. So they give you so many reasons to not like these people, where I'm just like, that is not how I operate.
It's just not reality. And
no, it's not fair.
Like, for example, my mom grew up in the Iran-Iraq war. It was like the Iranian Revolution when she was younger, and she went through tragedy. Like, they killed her father. He was the head of the Iranian CIA. And then after that, she went through the Iran-Iraq war. She was so young. And then when they killed Saddam Hussein, when I was growing up and we were just like watching footage of that, my mom was crying.
Really?
And I was looking at her and I was like, why are you crying? This person caused so much pain. And she was like, because he's still a human being and no one should be happy about that. And it just like makes me realize with anything. And then in college, when Obama killed Osama bin Laden or right. not, that whole thing. I mean, I was in college and it was Oregon too, so it was different. People were just flooding the streets and it was like a parade basically.
Oh gosh,
and I remember
yes.
thinking, yes, this person inflicted so much pain on our country, but like, why are we so happy about someone dying? I mean, it's still so sad at the
no,
end of
yeah.
the day.
Yes. And I feel the same way about that. Like when I go to these court cases, I really hate being there for conviction or sentencing or when they get convicted. Like it is depressing. I walk away from all of it because it's like the end of someone's
life.
And so I do relate to that.
And with the whole, so did you cover Ghislaine before Johnny Depp?
Yeah, I think Ghislaine was probably the first big trial.
And that was when your readership kind of went.
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
or did it gradually grow or did it just like go viral?
No, I feel like it was the trials that really, people really enjoyed the pop culture things. And that's where I have the most fun is like putting together images and going into the stories, which a lot of them I know about these people from forever. Like I've read about them forever. It's just breaking it down in like digestible slides for people to read and like. But the trials, I think because I was there in person and it was instantly like a different sort of style, especially with Ghislaine, there was not a lot of media covering it. And I think I stood out as an independent voice then. But yeah, that's what really kind of propelled follower count. And then Johnny Depp happened right after that. So it was like back to back big, you know,
but
high profile.
But your view on what's going on with Ghislaine is that she's also a victim in some way, right? Is that what made people start to kind of also want to, not just because you're obviously giving like a different perspective in the sense of actual real coverage because you're going to the trials and you're seeing what's going on, but just, yeah, do you think that people, I mean, you got so many haters from having that perspective too.
Well, yeah, and I feel like that was an important turning point because we were all sitting there watching the trial and I started to realize early on that I didn't agree with the way it was being covered and I didn't really agree with the way she was portrayed. So it was like, it kind of forced me to be like, do I go with the running narrative and play it safe? Or do I really share
what
I think? And so
yeah.
I was like, I have nothing to lose. Like I'm here and I'm just, so of course I just started, you know, posting about, I went deep into her background and her life. And it was actually, cause I saw her story as like a really like kind of complicated, tragic, like Freudian disaster. She, you know, was sort of raised to become this servant to powerful men. And she recreated her whole relationship with her father, with Jeffrey Epstein. So like, and then she did terrible things. You know, she was not a great person in that role, but there was a lot of nuance that was being overlooked. And so my whole focus was like, you know, if I get obsessed with a certain person or a story, I really can't let it go.
Yeah.
So I have to like know everything about them. And I think with her, I really got stuck on it because I was so interested in her as a woman because she had all this power. She's sitting in that courtroom and she really, her secrets could destroy, they could dismantle the free world, you know, if she was ever to just speak about.
And she still doesn't.
And she doesn't. And I mean, you know, the dynamic of that was really like, it was just really fascinating. Like I'd be in there alone with her sometimes and she has a very powerful presence. And so things like that are what, you know, I'm like, I have to like, what is this? Like, what is this thing she has? So I loved writing about her, reading, you know, and sharing. And of course I got a lot of hate. I was labeled as a rape sympathizer and all these terrible names, but the people really, really, there were a whole other side of it was they really respected a different perspective. And so they liked reading and learning about the whole story too, because the story is complicated and the trial was really, you know, it was sort of like a facade. They shrunk it down to just have it be this evil woman who, you know, and it's like, where were her clients? Like, come on.
Well, is there a type of person that can resonate or respect that? Like, what's the, or is it people from across the board? Or do you think they have a type?
Like, as far as like who it resonates with?
Yeah, like, you know, is it someone that's more a mom or a Republican? Like, is it?
Oh, so
I'm just curious if your viewership and your changed a lot from a story like that.
Or readership, I would say. I mean, political stuff has been a gradual overturn, but I think the storytelling. Something with, you know, about Ghislaine, because her story is fascinating. She lived all these different lives. She speaks, you know, all these different languages. She was a hell, you know, she could drive the airplane, whatever. She had all these crazy things about her. So I think just that those stories in itself were, even if you didn't agree with me, they were sort of fascinating, right, to follow. But I think with politics, it's a lot harder to break down people's defenses and just say, like, don't. I'm not asking you to love this guy or to vote for him, but like, do you want to learn about the people, why people like them?
Yeah.
Or like, do, like, I'm not asking, you know, for your vote, just asking for your attention.
Yeah, no, it's true. Because with pop culture, it's something that people from across the board can kind of find something in common that maybe they're interested in.
That was like the whole working formula.
Yeah.
Because I felt like dialogue was closing and shrinking after COVID, and there was no way, nobody was listening to each other. So I was like, I think we can talk through pop culture.
That's, and that's so what you opened. Did it intuitively because I did. Of that.
Well,
that's so smart.
Yeah, it was a way to keep myself entertained because I knew I was good at those stories. But it also opened up dialogue again because people wouldn't, they were so combative when it's personal. But if you're talking about like these, like, you know, famous figures, then we could have discussions again.
Wow. And also, not to mention in your, I mean, you did kind of step into politics, right? In 2016 when Trump was running a little bit.
I was always a little political because back then it was exciting to, like, you know, I posted a lot about Obama. I was super excited to be supporting him. That was a fun time. I've always been interested in politics and forever. It wasn't my central focus. But yeah, I did Obama and I did Hillary. I was super anti-Trump.
I was the same.
We were all there.
Yeah. But what I love is that you strategically chose to start talking about pop culture as a way to start to open up the discussion around just anything, because in your own household, you kind of before that weren't sure, right, who you were going to vote for in 2020.
So it got a little complicated because I was still very anti-Trump and Mike and I would fight about it. But I realized when we'd fight that I was not informed. So I'd be losing these fights and it drove me crazy because no woman wants to lose a fight to her husband, right? And I'm like, what is wrong with me? I'm good at arguing. How am I? But it's really, I just wasn't paying attention. I didn't know what I was arguing. So I would argue with attacks and insults, which is what people are still doing today. So I have to remember that too. I'm like, I can't get mad at these people because I was these people.
Yeah. Well, it's just so crazy too, because I think one of the most important pieces that I've read so far, and it's only because I already am obsessed with RFK Jr. and like, I love the way that you.
Yeah, you've loved him forever.
I've loved him forever and I love everything you've had to say about him and it gets me excited. But when I read your most recent piece on Trump and the fact that you got to interview the very first member of Mar-a-Lago.
I know.
And then she talked about how the reason he started the club was essentially because other Jewish and Black people weren't able to go and everyone was essentially segregated still at the time.
Right.
I mean, in the 90s.
Yeah. And still today, they remind me. I mean, it's still very much like that. Like I said, I'm learning in real time. I didn't know this about like club culture in Palm Beach.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it really is like that today. I mean, even
they still have. Yeah.
Even in Newport Beach. My dad was on a list. He signed up for a country club here and they accidentally sent him a list on email. It was an attachment and it said everyone's race, everyone. So they're like Jewish, Muslim, Black, and he didn't get accepted.
See, that's what I'm like. I feel like we all don't, if you're not a part of that world, you don't know these things exist. It's crazy.
I know. It's really sad that it still exists.
But same thing,
To paint Trump as a racist is so cruel just because he wants to tighten the border and do something that's important for so many other reasons. But like, how the hell did the left take over media? That's just like what I'm so confused about. Like, how did we allow that?
Yes. How is it that powerful? Because the fact, like, I feel like there's a lot of other things. Like, Trump is very crass and he could be a bully and all those things. But him as a racist, I just can't believe the media was able to really pin that on him. Because even the more I get to know about him and his history, it's just like, and then talking to people like her, I run into her in the bathroom and she has this amazing story. And so it's like, some people just want to hate Trump so bad. They don't care what the truth is. So they don't want to hear from a wealthy, Jewish woman who was the first, like, she has this beautiful story. They don't want to hear from the black workers. Like, I talked to the hotel workers who say he has the best reputation. Everybody wants to be employed by him because of how he treats his people. They don't want to hear from the staff at Mar-a-Lago who say the same thing about him. And then they don't want to hear about, this black guy that I just interviewed, at the conservative foundation the boxer who he gave clemency to. Like, I'm like, you guys just really don't want any good stories about Trump because and that's what's happening now is these people are bringing them to me hoping I can translate them. And I feel like it is my responsibility at this moment in time to present these stories because it is the truth. He's not a racist. Like, you can hate him for so many other reasons if you want, but that one is...
It's not true.
It's not true, no.
It shouldn't be a reason that someone...
There is nothing there to support that. It's crazy.
That's so insane.
I'm like, you like scratch that off the list and move on to something else.
I can't believe it though. I was crying.
Media is powerful. And that's just one... I have so many stories to tell and they're all heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And it's also infuriating to be like, we've been lied to.
I think that's really right? What it comes down to.
Like, we should all be mad too.
Cry.
Yeah.
Like, it made me cry because you're part of a lie. I mean, not you. Like,
I was for a long time.
Yeah.
And it destroys friendships. It destroys
families.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy that politics has that ability too.
And media, like, we really don't. If any of the people, I always think that because I feel so fortunate that I'm in these situations where I'm sitting down in sort of intimate settings with, either the candidates or their supporters. I just feel like if people could be in my place, you would not hate any of these people.
Yeah.
You're not going to hate.
That's why I'm so curious about if you will ever get to meet with Biden.
I need to. I feel like I have to set. I feel like I really have to,
like,
right?
What if it becomes a huge mind fuck where we're like, I mean, I think the issue with Biden is like, because, okay, someone just sent me this video of what senior living at the White House. Have you seen that video?
This is so funny.
It's so funny.
It's really funny.
But then I was like, I feel so bad for him at this point because he should just be an old man that has dementia and that's it. But because he's trying to run the country, that's the problem.
Right. And I also feel like it's really unfair for them to put us through this. Like, we're all uncomfortable with it.
I know.
Everybody should be uncomfortable with that situation. And I'm like, you guys keep putting it out there. And so it's like either you ignore it or, that, like, of course it's sad to watch him be made fun of. I mean, I'm guilty of it
too.
But also it's more the absurdity of the situation. I'm like, you guys are putting this guy out there and you're expecting us to just be like, this is the guy leading the country. Like, it's scary.
I know. When you have someone like Putin who's strong as fuck and he's doing this interview with Tucker and you're like watching.
And we have a guy who can't walk up and down stairs.
But we have someone who jumps out of helicopters and he could potentially become president.
Which I know. Awesome. He's an exciting. I feel like Bobby in the race is like the most exciting aspect to it. Because otherwise, it's a whole repeat of Trump versus Biden, which we've all lived through.
Biden's not going to actually be the candidate, right?
No, I feel like there's going to be something crazy and we're like bracing for it every day. They're going to do something. And it's fun to speculate about, but it's also scary. I just feel like that's what, like, we both know Bobby needs more exposure. If everyone knew who he was, he is a fabulous alternative.
Well, okay. I grabbed a sign. What are those? The lawn signs whatever from the event, the comedy night. And I was looking at it today and it just says Kennedy 24. And I was thinking, like, it doesn't say for president.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, little things like, who, I feel like if you really don't know that a Kennedy is running, I mean, it's crazy to me to think that there are people out there that don't even know that he's running. But it is the reality, since he doesn't really get any coverage other than basically from you.
Well, I mean, there's others, but yeah. I feel like everyone in our bubble, we all know about him because he's like a main feature. But
outside of that.
No. And so when you leave that, I'm like, oh, people really don't know that he's an option.
They have no idea. They're like, is he even still running? He wasn't on my ballot. Is he still running? And I'm like, yes, he's running.
Yeah. So the message, I feel like people are confused by an independent candidate to begin with. And so I feel like the messaging needs to be so strong. Like, here's why he's not on the ballot. Here's what you need to do to get him on the ballot. And I'm doing as much as I can. You are too. We're both working because, again, I'm not here to endorse him or you know, convince anyone to vote for him, but just like get his message out.
And to have a fair election.
Yeah, to have a fair election. Like, let us decide who we want. Stop calling him a vaccine conspiracy theory. Like, it's just the same articles about him get recycled, and it's just so boring. I mean, he has a crazy story. He's a crazy, amazing life. And
I'm just waiting for them to like try and pull out all the stops, because have not. Even
I think right now the strategy is to ignore him. You know? It's been working. And I think as soon as he gets hopefully on a debate stage, like, the world's gonna fall in love with him. And he is a threat. Like, he is, his likability is, you know, in the polls is a real threat.
Is the debate going to happen if Biden doesn't debate?
So those are the things I don't know. I'm confused about the debate.
I don't know.
I know Trump's up to debate, and I know Bobby's like raring to get, like, he's like, you know, that's his favorite to debate, but
he needs to do like a holographic, like a debate with like the hologram.
Need to be in charge of his campaign strategies.
I know. Regardless of it happening, we just need like AI versions of Trump and Biden to show up.
Oh my gosh.
It'd be so funny. But yeah, I think that I truly believe what you're doing is God's work. And this is coming from someone who is not religious by any means. Like, I believe in God, but I don't believe in, you know.
You're so funny.
I really, every time I look at what you're doing, I'm blown away, because you're doing it because it fulfills you. And not because you want any sort of accolades or you want the money or anything. You're truly doing this for people. And you can see, I mean, you have 1.2 million people following you on Instagram. And that's because people want this. People are craving this, and they're finally finding honest coverage. And I know that it's just going to, 1 million is going to be like a drop in the bucket in years from now, because we know it's just this movement that you're creating is just going to expand like crazy. And even though you have a lot of haters that are, I've even like gotten messages and I'm like, I don't even, I'm like barely.
How can anyone send anything negative your way?
It's like anyone that, but it's great. It's great to have that level of interest that people need to start hating on you, because
they're afraid. I guess so.
They're afraid of what you stand for. They're afraid of a woman speaking her mind and having people listen.
And I think they're also sort of like, they're uncomfortable because some of the things, you know, it's challenging them to think in a completely different way. And I've been there. I would get angry too. It was like a reactive defense because because these people, they hate me, but they're following me like a hawk. Like, they follow, you know, they follow everything I do. So I think it makes them uncomfortable when some of the, stances are maybe resonating and they reject it. So they get angry.
It's triggering.
But like, like you said, I think it comes with the territory. You're not doing big things if you're not making people angry.
I know.
And, and that goes back to the money thing is like, I don't belong to any religion either, but I believe in God and I believe in like purpose, like divine purpose. I believe in signs and all those things. You do too. We talk about this stuff when we're together. But I do think, you know, people serve a purpose at certain points in time. And it does feel like, I cannot deny the way everything's come together in sort of a like mystical way. There's all these things that pointed me to where I'm at now. And it was because I listened to the signs and my intuition that I ended up here. And so I try not to like second guess or doubt anything, because it's like you have to be on this course and you have to be fully committed. And so, and I can't pay attention to the number. Like when I switched to covering Trump, you know, I lost a bunch of followers, and it's like I can't be affected by it, because if you believe in what you're doing, you know, you can't care. And so with the money too, like people, that's the whole thing, is like, I'm doing this for clickbait or money. And it's like, that's never been the case. Nobody would ever say that about me, because like I said, I feel as happy as I was when we had absolutely no money, and Mike was, you know, like recycling copper to make extra. We didn't go on vacations and we didn't have fancy things, and I didn't care. And when we moved here to the beach, it was like, that's all we ever wanted. And so when we found that house, and I have no desire for like a bigger house or a nicer car, any of those things, it just doesn't, that's never been what motivates me. What motivates me is seeing the change and the impact that my coverage is having on people.
And your children.
And my children are so proud. Don't even start talking about that.
Like just seeing Arlo. I mean, Arlo was at Call Me Night. I saw him and he brought his friends, right? And
yes, my boys are so proud. Mike is too, but the boys, because they're old enough, you know, to like understand what I'm doing. And they're a part of it. They're going to as many events as that. That I can manage, and Arlo's going to be old enough to vote, and he's having the best time. Like he watches all my stories. He loves it, and his friends do too. And then when they go to their friend's house, the moms are, you know, all excited about the coverage. Like Rex came home for dinner the other day, and I asked him, like, why do you only repost my Trump stuff? You know, because Rex doesn't really repost me. Yeah. So I was like, why now? Why are you reposting Trump? And he's like, well, one of my friend's moms told me that she hated Trump, and that your coverage really changed her opinion of him, and now she can't wait to see stories about him. And so I think but I was like,
blame house inhabited Trump. No kidding.
No.
Oh my gosh.
But you know what I mean?
Cool.
So he was like so proud. And so he started, you know,
I'm going to repost this and maybe more people will see that.
Or maybe he just likes Trump better. I don't know.
Yeah. He's like
maybe he's a little MAGA boy.
And I love that your kids have different opinions and they're happy to voice them. And Hayes is
RFK.
And
that's how everyone should be. Yeah. Hayes loves RFK. He doesn't want to hear anything about Trump. Like,
I love it.
You know, he's like a solid Bobby supporter. So we're having fun with, I mean, that's the thing, is like, we're at the end of the day, we're having so much fun with it. And I feel like people are having fun with politics again.
Were the boys as invested when it was pop culture?
No.
They weren't really even keeping up.
I mean, occasionally it would, if it was like a rapper they liked or something, but they weren't like following stories about Ghislaine Maxwell, you know?
So it's new for you sort of family bonding over it.
Yes. So it's a whole family affair. Like Leon likes all the stuff too.
And then your mom was into politics when you were younger. So it's kind of.
Yeah. My mom was always into politics. So I was always like fairly educated on what was going on. We had CNN on all the time. She was like a hardcore liberal, and we grew up worshiping Bill Clinton. So, you know, she instilled a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so cool that you're able to foster that in a different way with your kids, because instead of my way is the right way, it's whatever you think is beautiful, and also the ripple effect on their friends and their groups.
That's why it's fun too. I'm like, I don't care what any of these haters are saying, because at the end of the day, my son and his friends, they're only getting their campaign coverage through me.
Yeah.
They don't know what's going on if I'm not. You know what I mean? So it's
same.
Like,
I mean, me too. I'm like, oh my gosh. No, I'm serious.
A lot. You don't know who a lot of people are.
I know.
Doing my best to keep you informed.
I know.
But no, it's fun. I feel so, you know, inspired by that too. Like I'm going to take them all. They're all going to go vote. I don't know who they're going to vote for. And I don't know that they need to tell everyone, but well, you know, it's going to be exciting.
That's so exciting. Okay. Well then do you know anything about the We the People situation then? Like, cause I just filled out my ballot.
You did.
But it doesn't matter for right now.
Right? So that's what I'm struggling with. I actually requested from one of Kennedy team members to do like a breakdown, a simple breakdown, so we could inform everyone. And then I have a meeting on Wednesday to figure out how we can help California get him, you know, get him on the ballot and keep everybody informed. Because right now, the one of the main obstacles is just like confusion. Like, what's we the people? How does it work? And I think we need to figure that out so we can relay the message. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the idea of the we the people party.
I love it too. Yeah. But it's just like, let's get it across the board. Like,
it's
so
like
people,
on these states.
Because people think now he's just not running.
I know, which is crazy.
And we don't want that.
Yeah. Thank God for TikTok. Because I feel like also, I mean, I'm not on there, but I feel like with his push-ups and stuff, he went viral on TikTok.
He's like viral, gold.
Yeah.
Yes. More so push-ups, right? More push-ups, more pull-ups.
So
I'm like, I see these saline sweepstakes things. Like, should you be shirtless sailing?
I know.
Like, really gotta.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you about is just being on the campaign trail.
There's trials on the campaign. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of trials on the campaign trail.
Most of my friends were sick from November all the way to February. Last year. And you were all over the world or all over the US and never got sick.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy. And I know that Mike was sick and, you know, some of the other kids in your household were sick. So what the hell? Like, how is that possible? Are they just killing us and spraying us here and that's why everyone got sick? Or
Don't scare me.
I know. Or like what? Or are you just so fulfilled? I mean, or are you burnt out? Like, what's the deal?
No, I don't think it's anything that like interesting.
Yeah.
I've never really gotten sick.
You just don't get sick.
No, I don't get sick.
Yeah, you're a mom that's used to being like on the go and being exhausted.
Yeah, and really my kids don't. Arlo gets sick like a normal person, but no one, and Mike kind of, but like no one in our family really gets sick. Like we never have those like long flu day or anything.
That's
and
so good.
I don't even remember the last time I was sick. I mean, I get the migraines and stuff, like allergy stuff.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't get sick at all. And it's always been that way. So I don't think it's anything, I don't think like God has a hand on me or anything. I think it's just a good immune system.
Funny. I was like, what are you doing?
But exhaustion is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I always come to you for tips. Like, I'm like, give me some ozone, give me some saffron, give me some special powers.
Yeah. You just.
No, I'm tired. I'm tired right now.
Well, you look really good, but yeah, you just got back and I was just waiting for you to cancel because I would cancel if I were you, but you're so nice and gracious.
I did cancel in my head a few times driving over here. I was like she'll forgive me. She'll forgive
for sure.
me.
Anytime.
No.
Because I'm like queen of canceling.
You are?
Yeah.
Me too.
No, I know. We're both the same.
I love canceling. And I like.
Well, because I want people to be able to cancel and just not feel
me too.
Bad.
Yeah, me too. Like, we're not going to hold it against each other.
It's okay to be exhausted. It's okay to need time. And you're doing God's work. So you should have everyone in your life okay with you needing time to just sleep. Or do you just, like, wake up super early to write? When do you write?
Yeah. No, I don't sleep a lot. And, I mean, that's always kind of been the case. But I wake up at, like, 5:30 and I start posting. And then I'll usually in the afternoon write. Because you know, it's like juggling two things, Instagram news every day and then Substack long stories. So it is a lot. Yeah.
I love this. I don't know if this is a strategy or if it just so happened to be this way, but you only doing stories. I know now you're posting sometimes, but it's such a smart strategy because it's like.
You think?
Yes, because I'm like, I can't not click if you have a new story because I have to see what's going on. Whereas if it was all going to be in a swipe or an update on a post, then I'll look at your account later. I don't have time right now. Right?
So
and not just me. I'm just saying in general.
I'm actually still shocked that people will click. I have so many stories every day and I'm like, how do people click through this many dots? Like, I cannot believe.
Because it's addicting.
And I love it because now, you know, a lot of people, they'll just like save it for the end of the day.
Yes.
And that's what they tell me when they see me. It makes me so happy. But, you know, Substack obviously is what where my income comes from. So I have to like, cause I love doing the short stuff.
You like, do. It's not easy and fun,
but really? I'm like, okay, I need to translate these like novels because it's like each event that I go to is really like worthy of its own novel. There's so many people I meet and so many stories. And so to sit down, you know, like nobody really likes, like, I don't like to write. It's like,
but you're so good at it.
But I am, I'm like, these all deserve to be something longer, you know?
So, and I'm so glad you do that because like, for example, you went to Mar-a-Lago and did the whole, I mean, it was so funny when we all found out that Trump does his own music and
oh my gosh,
all that.
So but adorable.
So then it's like, okay, what other story is she going to get from Mar-a-Lago this other time? But then look at what happened. And so much came from that, that probably changed. So, I mean, I was so moved by it and I was already interested in what Trump had to say by that point, you know, and I didn't feel like I needed new info about Trump because, but then I did, I really needed it.
Oh, I think and it never, ends. There's always a story with each, there's not, I could go to Mar-a-Lago every day for the night, like there's always a story.
So crazy.
And I think is if you're paying attention, and I feel like that's where I thrive is just like watching people. Like, I don't want to interview any of these guys. I don't want to sit down and do like one-on-one. Like, this is not my favorite.
I know. That's another reason why I was waiting for them.
I'm like, you're good at it, but it's, But so that's my favorite, just getting to watch them. And so, you know, having the Trump team kind of let me in more recently. Bobby's been amazing. You can just show up and watch him and write about him. And there's no like expectations or restrictions. He's the best and so sweet. So that's always fun. And then Trump, you know, it's a lot more guarded, which I understand. Like, you know, he's been like, why would he trust media? They've been terrible to him. So that's access is like more, you know, newer. And I'm still figuring out how that works. But I mean, he has Trump. There's endless stories about him too, his families.
One of my favorite funny ones is that
you were saying laughing.
That. Well, no, just the fact that Melania doesn't want him to dance, but he does. I thought that was every time I see him dance now, I'm like, oh my gosh.
She's so always funny. Trying to warn him. She's like, please stop.
But it's
he
like,
kind of.
So funny.
When I was at his event, this last event, like this weekend, he was on stage and he was doing so well, right? Like he's like beautiful speech about what he's done for the Black community. Then he goes off track. It's really hard. Then he starts to like making fun of Biden, right?
Oh God.
And then he like talks about this beach chair that Biden, he said that like, who told him he looks good in a bathing suit because he doesn't look good in a bathing suit, but he'll like ramble. And I'm like, oh, he's gone off script.
Yeah.
Like there he goes. And then he talked about this beach chair that Biden couldn't open for like 15 minutes.
No way.
He's like talking about how light it is. It's made of aluminum.
Oh my
He's
imitating.
And I'm just like, he reminds me of like when your kid's on stage and you're like so proud because
yes.
they're doing so good. And you're like, they
and
memorize.
Then they
so- and then they go and you're like, no.
Oh my gosh. And it's like his family.
But it's
probably-
also so funny. I'm just like, they're all used to it. And then he'll just,
And then he like wins the crowd with those stories.
He just does. I mean, the most fascinating part about him is he literally is just a winner. He's like, I'm going to win. Like court case, he's going to win. They call him Teflon Don, right?
Oh my gosh.
For a reason.
The story of the guy that you posted, like just talking about his shoes.
Oh my gosh.
Going to sneaker con or something like right after that and dropping those sneakers and just... like and them selling out. That's okay.
He's really
on
good
the
at
stage
merch.
Where he literally just like, I think in one of the videos you posted, he was just standing there on stage,
oh my
and
God.
Everyone was just like going. Does that happen a lot?
Yes.
Like he just stands there and stares.
No, he
at
comes
people.
Out. It's so funny. Denise and I kind of like make fun of it. It is so funny. He just stands there, you know, and just like, he takes it all in, and everyone just. I mean, he's like a king to these people.
That's
I mean, it's
so
actually
insane.
So crazy to see. And years ago, I hated. All of it. And now I'm just like, this is really entertaining.
It's so entertaining. But it's like, if you put Bobby in that same position,
mm-hmm.
like he would never.
Nobody would do that.
No. But then it's
nobody
like,
is like him.
He's so poised and such a true, I mean, just like a gentleman, Bobby
I think,
is.
And yes. Bobby is like an old school, very respectful. I mean, he's a Capricorn too.
Oh, he is?
And Trump's a Gemini. So that explains a lot.
I'm a Gemini.
You guys are so chaotic. We love you though.
Yeah.
But it explains, and Bobby's, you know, very
reserved.
He would not, like even at his that comedy event, you know, how he had those, those posters. They showed me the one he wouldn't put up, and it said like it was like a picture of Trump and Biden holding each other up by the collar, and it said like Dumb and Dumber, and Bobby's like, no.
I know, I saw that actually. Right? That's so funny.
Because he's just not, that's not his style.
No, it's not.
They couldn't be more different as far as their like demeanor and their approach.
Look at the way he was raised. I mean, it's like American royalty.
Yeah, I mean, what else is above the Kennedys? Nothing.
Literally nothing. And it's so crazy. Okay, so when we first met, I asked you if you were afraid.
You did?
And I loved your answer because you were just like of what you're covering, because it's a huge threat to whoever's really running the country, basically. And you were like, no, I just don't go there. I just don't even allow myself to go to this place of fear. Because then, I mean, you didn't say this, but to me, it's like you're not even putting that frequency out there.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that kind of started with the Ghislaine coverage too, right? Of just...
A little
bit. Like, do you ever... I mean, I want to ask you that question again. Like, do you feel afraid or because I believe that you could really make a huge difference with border coverage, like a crazy difference with people actually understanding what's going on versus it becoming such a politicized issue. Like if you believe that there need to be tight borders, then you're racist.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are starting to recognize that we need something to happen. But I also think, I mean, okay, back when I was super liberal, I was obsessed with Ai Weiwei, and all his whole thing was like open borders. We have so many refugees. Like we need to let people in because the climate crisis is creating so many refugees that need a place to live and no one will allow them in. And I was just like, oh my God, like we need to let them in.
So it's like a completely different,
it was a different issue. I was like, oh no, these people are coming in because all they of the rainstorms. Yeah, the rainstorms.
Too much rain. Yeah. They just want shelter.
Not from cloud seeding, just because God, it just randomly started to happen all of a sudden. No, but, and then, so you know, you have people that, I mean, my family immigrated here legally and it took them 15 years.
Yeah.
And I watched it go down and it was really sad where half the family was able to be here and the other half was just waiting. And I just feel like I see both sides in a way.
Yes, I think that's always good to see.
We both see both sides, I think, because we've been in a position where we've really felt strongly one way and now we're seeing the truth and why I think it is so important to have different opinions because if you're
and be able to change your mind on things. Yeah.
So do you feel called to cover that or do you feel like that's not really like,
No, I think, well, as far as fear, I mean, a lot of people ask me that and I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, maybe I should be scared. Like, you know, with Ghislaine, not so much because I didn't feel like I was going into the deep layers of like the blackmail and the, you know, Epstein being protected by the U.S. government and all that. I was really just kind of focused on her story. So I'd never felt like I was, you know, at risk. With Johnny Depp, it got a little, you know, I was a little bit scared because it kind of became not just a story about, you know, this couple, like Elon Musk was involved and at the center of it secretly, he was a big part of it. So that was the only time it was like briefly a little, but like.
And the Me Too movement.
Really
changing the narrative. But
I did get warnings about political stuff. I had a couple people call me. I had only done a couple pieces on Bobby and it only struck me because two people called me in the same week and they're like, you need security. If you're going to become like a prominent force in his campaign coverage, which they're like, we predict you will. And you start to have any sort of impact, like you like, they're like, you know, politics is not pop culture. The stakes are much higher. And they're like, you need cybersecurity and you need home security.
Wow.
And the first person who told me, I was like, you know, I'm not going to like get caught up in that. And then I get another phone call, same thing. They're just like, you've changed my opinion on him. So you're going to be changing other people's opinions on him. Yeah. And they're not going to like it. So, but I just, you know, I mean, we do, I guess I could use cybersecurity, but I just don't really...
I feel Let's like if you get tell scared, the world what you do in your house. Because no, I'm pretty sure someone can just Google where you live.
Yes, I just
we need to change.
And I feel
that.
Like if you give that energy, like, yeah. I don't think anyone should be scared to cover the truth. So if like if something takes me down to the border, I would love to know. Because I'm learning in real time too. Like, I don't pretend to know everything about politics. I'm learning in real time. There's so much I didn't understand that I'm having to learn myself and then translate for an audience. So I think it would be really, like, you know, cool to go down to the border and see.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I was telling you earlier before we started recording that Eric had put on the Joe Rogan Dr. Phil podcast, and
yes,
and I just felt like, how crazy. I'm listening to this 10 minutes before Jessica's coming for this podcast that we're going to record. So and Dr. Phil is literally just saying, I went down to the border, I interviewed the most important guy, and he's literally saying, taxpayers are funding child sex trafficking. Just in sex trafficking in general. From like,
yeah, what do we do with that information?
He literally
now?
Said,
like,
yeah.
Like, where does that go?
And he said, no, why are you not talking about this to the guy? And he's like, well, no one asked me. And then that's really concerning. But I was like, well, you know who will ask you? And it's like, okay, Dr. Phil, that's great that you're doing that. But we need someone else. We need more media presence. It's not going to happen. And so we need more independent journalists. We need independent writers that are going to cover this and that aren't... I don't know, other independent journal. You just have a lot more coverage.
Well, I think that's what, that's why we really do need to support independent journalists, like, and really encourage them. And that's why I do hope that I'm sort of an inspiration to them. Like, you don't have to go work for these outlets and become like a slave to editors and stuff. You can go out and cover things from your own perspective. But, you know, have you seen Bobby's film On the Border?
I didn't. Oh, okay. No. Yeah, no, I didn't.
It's really good. And I'm going to post it because I feel like everyone should. He goes down there in person and changes his opinion because of what he sees down there, right?
Wow.
And it's done really well. It's a two-part series, but like people haven't seen it. And so I'll share that. But yeah, I think like you're saying, it in aspects like that, definitely independent because they don't want us to really know. It is scary. Like they're saying it's the number one concern right now with voters, right? As it should be, like
it's bad.
And we can't sustain that. Like that's at the end of the day, we cannot sustain how many are flooding in. And I don't really know anyone who's okay with the way it's progressed, right?
Well, I think also the issue is it's more than just, so there's like sex trafficking happening.
Yeah.
And there's then there's cartel. People being afraid. So there's like drugs, there's sex trafficking, and then there's people afraid that America is getting infiltrated because of war, not because of like Chinese. And Dr. Phil does a really good job of explaining it too. He's like, I don't want anyone to be
really
upset with the Asian population or the people here that are, you know, wonderful citizens or wonderful people here that are part of our community. He's just saying there were 1,500 Chinese immigrants coming through the border in 2020, and then there were 33,000 that came through the border in 2023. So, and he's like, and these are guys that are, you know, they look like they're more military type individuals are here to fight.
Really? I cannot wait to listen to this interview.
I know. And I was just like, this is so weird. I need to talk to Jessica about it because
I just saw little clips this morning.
It's just, it's another thing that voters care about. And what's so cool about Bobby is that because he's independent, he can align with whatever he actually believes in and share about it. Whereas, for example, Obama, when he was running, he couldn't say that he was for gay marriage. Remember?
He couldn't say
that he believed it. And then later.
Well, I think to me, that's the most appealing part of Bobby is I feel like he's not an apologist at all. And so even if you don't agree, like he's not going to back down on what he believes in. And so I really respect that. And even if I don't, you know, even if it's something I don't agree with, I'm like, I do respect that he won't fold on things he cares, you know, his convictions. And I mean, he has like the media against him. He has family against him. He has a lot against him. And he's lost, you know, friends and connections and status through the vaccine, because of the vaccine stuff. And now once he's in office, I mean, it's just, there's so much against him, and he remains so
grounded,
focused and grounded. Yeah. It's like, he is who he is. And I mean, Trump's the same way. He is who he is. And so that's really what I respect about, I mean, they do kind of have parallel stories as far as like them being celebrated and like media darlings. Yes. You know, Trump was a real estate tycoon that everybody worshiped. He was always the winner. They loved his story until he became a Republican. And Kennedy, same thing. He was a hero in the environmental, you know, movement. Everyone respected what he was doing. And then him going up against those big corporations, I mean, Monsanto, and winning all the things he has. I mean, he is like a force. But as soon as he enters the race as an independent, he's, you know, a lunatic, a crazy conspiracy guy. It's like ridiculous. Makes me so mad.
I know. But that's what makes your coverage so interesting. Okay, so I know we're going for a while, but I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned this, because you want to inspire more people to be an independent writer.
Yeah.
What is your... Okay, so I'm going to ask you, what type of like advice do you have for people for right now? Because I think we're in a really interesting time. Like, for example, I love that Arlo is not going to college.
Yeah.
I think it's super cool. I think that...
So much
has
changed.
We're in a time where we want our children to be free thinkers and do what they feel is good. I mean, it's cool. Arlo is very, seems like he's super strong, and he knows himself, and he has this like beautiful foundation. So he's all like, whatever he does, he's going to thrive. And whether it's going to be his ice cream or not, it's like you see that in him, and you know, I'm assuming that it's not like he needs to go to college to be told what to think. And right. I think a lot of us moms want that for our children. And one avenue could be independent writing or whatever. So like, what kind of advice do you have for someone who wants that to be their career? Or just in general, a parent who wants to support their child and not necessarily send them, because that's like the next thing you're meant to do.
Right, like the next stage. Mm-hmm. I think independent, right? I mean, I'm hoping that with the way the internet is evolving, that people are going to see, you know, the trust in mainstream media is really, it's dead. I mean, as far as like in our age group, right? We don't go to, I mean, I tried to watch the news last night, and it was, I mean, Denise and I, it was like another planet, the way they were talking. It's just like not relatable. So I think that, you know, I think there is a lot of opportunity and money in doing your own thing and giving people unfiltered truths or unpopular stories or, you know, all these things. I think people really crave and miss just like solid stories. We don't want to be lectured in an article or pushed a certain way. Like everything is so slanted in mainstream, you know, owned by these like liberal outlets who at the top of them are owned by these billionaires with an agenda. So I think breaking free from that, I feel like it should be really celebrated as like kind of like a revolution. I think there should be people, if you love to write, why are you going to go work for a paper that's going to strip your whole perspective, right? How depressing. You're going and witnessing all these like beautiful experiences in life, and then you go turn your thing around, your words around, and they get stripped. So I'm just hoping that people kind of see that there's way more like adventure and life and excitement and independent coverage. And then as far as kids, I think one of the most important things we try to do is like, you know, like foster what our kids are naturally like
good at.
Yeah. Because I mean, mine are also different. And I came from a house where we were all very different. And I always loved pop culture. I always loved stories. And my mom was always good about supporting that and making it seem like it was a, you know, like a good thing to pursue. So like in our house, you know, Hayes is like a star student, and he, that like fulfills him. He likes to be good at school. He likes to get good grades and he likes to get awards, and that's just like who he is. And then Leon's the same way. You know, he's like a people pleaser. And Rex, like, he's wanted to drop out of school since kindergarten. Okay. Like, he might every year we're like, okay, we got through one more year. And then at the same time, he's like the most incredible artist. Like, I'm not worried about him at all. Because what he creates is like beyond, like, I just can't even believe it. And it keeps getting better and more amazing. And then Arlo, he is like, you know, he's a people person. He's the kind of person who'll meet the right people. He's very confident. And so I don't worry about him at all. And he doesn't want to go to college. And I don't see him in that. I don't see him, unless it was like to, you know, sort of like take business classes or stuff. I like the idea of trade schools.
Mm-hmm. I love that too.
So we're kind of bouncing around those ideas, a trade school or maybe culinary school for a year, just to get him, you know, because at that age, you don't really know what you want to do yet.
No.
I didn't really know. And so I think it's just supporting what is their innate, you know, talent or interests. And with mine, they're all different. So it's not like we're like, you're going to college after. There's no like prescribed, like, you know, plan. It's just like, start talking to them. And I can kind of see, like, Hayes is probably going to be like
in college.
Yale.
Yeah.
He's already going to college, actually. He's at like little college kid classes. But Arlo will be fine.
Yeah.
And he's having so much fun. I have fun with him. Like, we get along really well. So he's fun to have on these trips. You know, I'm going to start putting him out on street interviews or something.
So smart. I think fun, those are so interesting when people go out on the street.
I don't want to do that, but Arlo would be good at it.
So yeah. Good. Oh, okay. Yeah. And then just before we end it, like, what is your, gosh, there's a fly.
Now he's on me.
Like, how are they even in here? Yeah, like, what's your goal for House and Habit? I mean, I feel like you're at the top, you know, but there's always more in a good way.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't know. I feel like that's another error. Everyone's like, what's next? And I'm like, I am just living in the moment right now. And I feel like we have to get through this year and just, it is going to be a big feat, because I feel like things will really get kind of crazy in coming months. So I think I need to build a little bit more. I feel like I need to bring on some independent writers to kind of fill in when I can't be there, because between traveling and everything, it's hard to write on a regular basis. So I would love to be able to expand everything just with independent perspective. And really, I like having women. I like having, you know, a female photographer and writers. Just feel like there's enough men talking about politics that I'd love to like build in that area. That's the beautiful. Ladies talk.
And you have moms, people who I think moms just have a different perspective on things, because you have to nurture so much.
I mean, I feel like I could not do what I do unless I had the support of all these women. Like the fact that my audience is 95% women is why I am able to do the things I do. They are so supportive. They make sure they take charge. They make sure, you know, that I get to be where they think I should be. And so I am so grateful for all the mothers and women that are, you know, forever supporting.
And their husbands. Like,
and now they drag their husbands in.
Like, Eric doesn't have Instagram, but at nighttime, and we're one of those couples that at night will go through your stories together.
Read them aloud.
Yeah. And he's excited about it. You know? Good.
Well, every day I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take a day off. There's like no days off.
No, if you take a day off, like, people will be pissed. It's
crazy too.
Like, you can't get headaches.
No, I can't get headaches.
We're so happy you don't get sick.
Yeah, I don't get sick. We just got to control the headaches and the exhaustion, and we'll be good.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for
having me.
I love you, and I love everything that you're doing.
You're the best. You've been so good to me. You're the ones I'm talking about.
Oh, I love you.